Airsofters, mill simmers, and even some of you converted paintballers to the first edition of MGP's podcast, Airsoft Airwaves. I'm your host, Loco, here with my co-host, Jawbone, and we're excited to be bringing you what hopefully becomes the most informative and entertaining podcast you can find.
Informative and entertaining, if you're reading from a script, I guess. I like to ad lib. Kind of like Tony Stark. But less suave.
That's why nobody likes him.
Yeah, less suave and slightly more alcoholic.
Slightly?
Yeah, a little bit more. Okay, I don't do cocaine. But anyways, twice a month we'll be bringing you updates on everything from upcoming events to political news, player highlights, guest interviews, and stay tuned as frequently as possible. We'll be doing occasional giveaways, including gear and discounted event admission for MGP events.
So you only do cocaine twice a month, huh? We'll be doing our best to keep the listeners actively engaged in the podcast as well. Like our Facebook page and watch for updates so you know when to call in via Skype for player event reviews, guest interviews, and if you want to offer some listener comments on the topics we're discussing.
And make sure to keep it all tasteful, folks. We don't want any foul language or dirty or abusive talk.
Very true. That being said, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the podcast. What do we got going on today?
Checking my notes here. Remember Senate Bill 798?
Of course I do. That California's
like,
attempt.
Yeah, that was like that was like 30 decades ago or something.
Yeah,
like
that feels like forever ago. Horrible idea.
It was like last year or something like that. I can't recall. Anyways, New Jersey is stepping it up a notch.
Yeah, go figure. It would be Jersey.
Yeah. They're trying to force a bill. I had it down here in my notes. Damn, I couldn't find it. Anyways, Section 2, Subsection F of the bill New Jersey's proposing is that they classify airsoft guns as actual firearms in the state of New Jersey.
An actual firearm?
Yeah, like, an actual firearm.
Like, I'd like to buy Tokyo Marui. I'll need that ATF form and a three-day wait, please.
Yeah.
Really?
In New Jersey, it's probably...
Probably a three-year wait.
That. Yeah. And then you're probably going to get a high point or something like that.
Airsoft would do more damage than a high point anyway.
Yeah.
Now, paintballers would love that if that passed. I've seen more injuries from frozen paintballs and... You know, overall douchebaggery in the sport in quotes of paintballing than I've ever seen in airsoft. That's including the grody mess. Shout out to Simmons' neck at the end of Operation Wounded Eagle back in 2010. He was digging BBs out for a few weeks after that. And it was pretty hardcore.
Yeah. And, simulated weaponry. That's a whole topic that you can get on in itself. That'd be an entire podcast. But seriously, it's more like a direct attack on the sport of airsoft itself. I can understand where they're coming from a safety aspect. They want to curtail the sales of airsoft weapons, stuff like that, to younger people. Which, by the way, I have a funny story to tell you afterwards.
Oh, can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Well, not really good. Anyways, to try and stop the younger kids from picking up airsoft guns and running amok in their front yards and stuff like that.
Yeah, I understand that, but we also give 16-year-olds cars because they've gotten their license.
Yeah, and what's safer
and
than
I'm
an airsoft
sure,
gun but a 2,000-pound guided missile?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that airsoft's a bit safer than letting a teenager drive.
Yeah, just saying. You could go on and again about this. It's
yeah,
ridiculous.
We definitely could. How about that 215 gear stuff? I know you weren't really a fan of either side of the argument.
I read... All right, the story goes is I was introduced to it by, who shot me that message? I can't remember who shot me that message. Was it
Someone.
Stefan?
Someone, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Stefan. Anyways, he shot me the message, and I looked it up, and I read the old post, the redacted post, and the updated post to that stuff. And I gotta say, honestly, they make a good point, as they are their own company and the point they're trying to make. However, how they worded their first post, their follow-up post, and the redacted posts, it just got worse and worse and worse. They were literally digging themselves into a hole there.
They were not digging themselves a hole. They had earth movers excavating a hole.
You know those strip mines where they have to blast off layers
exactly,
of rock?
That's
yeah.
exactly what they were doing. And I understand what you're saying. They did have a good point. When people, you know, the Stolen Valor Act,
yeah,
stuff like that, I can't stand it. You know, and there's plenty of other people... thousands of other people in support of airsoft, having been in the actual service, you know, stuff like that really gets under your skin. But
yeah, definitely.
To come out and say that, you know, and this is a direct quote, at 215 Gear, we do not associate with airsoft or any similar homosexual game or act.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be try to be those quiet professionals that your website claims you are, that is not the way to do it. That's yeah. just a world of crap.
It's something you would hear on Xbox Live, honestly.
Yeah, and Call of Duty Xbox Live, not even Battlefield Xbox Live, maybe even Halo Xbox Live.
Girls play Halo, anyways.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like. It's like first-person shooters 101 or something. I don't know. I'm kind of drifting off here on my own little side note. But seriously, there's a more tactful way to word that.
There's more tactical ways to say that.
Yes.
Oh, all right, moving on.
They don't make any products for kindergarten to 12th grade or extra fat.
That sounds like a direct attack.
Yeah. Well, you know, that comes back to the skinny jeans wearing generation.
True.
Dude, I saw this guy walking around the other day in BDU pants, and he sewed them so they would be skinny BDU pants.
You should have ripped them off.
No. No.
Yes. I see people come into work all the time wearing Marpat with Crocs.
I would probably beat them with something like...
Like a high point. A high point's a good billy club.
A high point or one of those elephant tusks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are good things to hit people with.
They definitely are. They're a little bit unwieldy.
Well, you know, you're not really going for accuracy. You're just going for general effect.
I suppose not. So, anyway.
Yes, anyway.
Last weekend, Junta went down. First MGP event of 2012.
I've been meaning to look that up. I'm going to pull up some dictionary.com here.
It's a Spanish word. You probably won't find it.
Yes, you can.
No.
All right. $30.
You have to go to dictionario.com.
Dictionario? El Diccionar?
Exactly.
I don't even know. Jesus. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Yes, I can. I can totally believe it. $20. Says I find it right
here. I'm not betting you any money.
Good.
You make more than that. All right, tell you what. I left my 50 on that table in your room. Let me go grab that and we'll wager 50.
That's not your 50. Here it is. Pronounced junta.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm American.
Yeah. A small group ruling a country, especially immediately after a coup d'etat, and before a legally constituted government has been instituted. A council.
So pretty much... Pretty much it's like a militaristic government.
Like a bookmark government.
Sure.
Well, you know, you finish one chapter and you get kind of drunk or tired and you start to drift off. So you put your bookmark in, right. Then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh yeah, I was reading this.
Friday night was crazy, man. What happened? I don't know. I think we overthrew the government. God, we can't do tequila.
Oh, lordy. But yes, junta, however you'd like to pronounce it. I heard it was a pretty good game. MGP's first game of 2012. Was that a legacy game?
Yes, it was. It was a legacy game, something that Mindgames started late last year. The legacy series of Mindgame Productions events allows players 16 and older to attend instead of the usual 18 and older restrictions. Idea there being that instead of trying to exclusify the sport of airsoft to 18 years and older, trying to get a little bit of the younger crowd in so we can teach them how the sport's supposed to be played, teach them the standard safety rules, stuff like that. And that way, once they get to the age where they can attend any game they want, they have a much better idea of the safety and the game flow and stuff like that. So it's actually a pretty good idea. And 2012 is definitely going to be a great trial run since we only had one or two games last year that did it.
Yeah, I can't even remember the names. One of them was a Vietnam game and the other one was...
I think it was Constrictor, Operation Constrictor, and Wasteland was a legacy event.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And,
that would explain
you know, we
all
had
the skinny kids I saw walking around there.
You know how good a time we had at Wasteland.
Oh.
Big shout out to Talon.
Hey, sorry,
Kane.
Guys. Well, I'm not sorry.
No, we're not sorry
you
at
should
all.
You should never say you're sorry. You can apologize.
Tell you what, we'll give you guys a free shout out on air when we record live at Wasteland this coming November.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're going to be out there.
So, hey, you know what next month is?
February?
Yeah, you know what happens in February?
I sit alone and
MegaCon 2012 happens in February.
I thought you meant Valentine's Day.
No. Nobody likes thinking about Valentine's Day.
No, nobody does, actually.
Single people don't like it, and people in relationships don't like it because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway.
I'm single, and it's expensive for me because I buy a lot of alcohol.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. MegaCon, February 17th to the 19th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to be running another indoor MilSim event with the United States Marine Space Corps. Anybody that wants to swing by and volunteer to be part of Op4, more than welcome. I can always use more people. Basically, what you'll do is we'll dress you up in a jumpsuit or something like that, and basically get to run around scaring the piss out of random...
scantily clad.
Yes. Ladies. Yes. Plenty of scantily clad
What is attendees. MegaCon, for those don't know?
MegaCon is a... it's pretty much one of the top five largest conventions, at least on the East Coast. And basically, it's a combination of gaming, whether it's tabletop or video games, card games, anime, movies, anything you can think of. Stan Lee.
Comic books and stuff like that?
What's that?
Did they do comic books and stuff like that?
Absolutely. In fact, Stan Lee was out there last year, and he should be coming out again this year. So if you want to meet the infamous Stan Lee of, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe he's Marvel. Stan Lee was Marvel, not DC.
I believe, yes, he is Marvel.
Yeah. Any listeners, if I got that wrong, I sincerely apologize.
Yeah, go ahead and shoot us an email.
Yeah, podcast@mindgameproductions.com. There's a dash between Mind Game Productions. Yeah, so Stan Lee was out there last year, and this year, rumor has it that he'll be out there again. But just so you guys know what to expect when the celebrities are out there, last year I also got to meet the Hulk.
What's his name? Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. He gave me kind of a limp fish handshake, and I don't know if that was just because he really didn't want to be there or he really didn't want to crush my hand, but either way, it was still cool to meet him. They had Spock out there one year.
Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy, yeah. Yes. Oh, my favorite. First year I was there, Kristanna Loken.
Ooh, that's a familiar name.
Yeah, it is.
Where's she from?
I'll give you a hint. She was in a movie.
Well,
she started off naked. And then she wore a nice, tight red leather jumpsuit through most of it.
Oh, Terminator 3.
Exactly. So I got my picture with her. Nice. Actually got to touch her and breathe the same air. I made sure to breathe in when she breathed out. It's not weird, is it? Anyway, I have that picture in my room. Nice. It's signed. Really cool. And cost me $50. So, yeah, you get to meet a lot of cool celebrities out there. And they have a massive convention hall. About as big as an airport hangar, pretty much. And they've got all kinds of crazy swag from swords and daggers. I got some lockpicks there just because. They have a two-and-a-half-story... Yeah, of course you need lockpicks. They have a two-and-a-half-story tall T-shirt rack with references to all kinds of cultural icons from Serenity to Portal to Half-Life. You know, there's a gold mine of Half-Life material out there. It's really worth checking out. You get some crazy art going down. They usually have tattoo artists out there absolutely. Giving you great rates. So you go out and you want to get the Imperial logo.
Are these real tattoos or temporary
absolutely.
Tattoos?
Absolutely. They'll do real or henna.
Really?
Yeah. And from what I've heard, they give you good prices. Back on topic here. If you want to come out, swing by, see what's going on, definitely more than welcome to.
Shoot up some people. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Shooting up people, you can never get too much of that. Stay tuned to the end of the show. I'll give you a promo code you can give to the registration worker and give you $5 off admission. We are going to be doing a personnel rescue and technology salvage mission, which may or may not go wrong in the middle of BFE outer space. So we'll be running the show, the room. Get your pen and pencil ready. I just said pen and pencil. I meant pen and paper. We're going to be doing the show at room W230 A and B, Friday 2 to 7, Saturday 10 to 7, and Sunday 10 to 2. So, hope to see you guys out there. It's going to be an awesome time, as always. And if you want to meet us up after the show, we typically go out to a Hooters or a Wing House or something like that. And
I think we're going to try and avoid Hooters. Hooters really isn't my thing. It's kind of worn down.
Okay. Well, 2 years in a row, they've given us a quote-unquote NCO club discount. So,
oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. But wherever we go, I promise you it's going to get crazy.
Let me see. Oh, you shot me a couple of videos. There was the SHOT Show, that 2012 SHOT Show that
yes.
went on.
Yes, courtesy of Schwell. Many of you know him as a big name in the Florida Airsoft community. Shot me a link to a video about the Echo One booth over at SHOT Show 2012 and all the amazing products they'll be bringing out.
Yeah, let me see if I can bring up the video here. I'm going to mute the sound on it. Just I need it for a point of reference. But I remember seeing a lot of good things. They had some a couple good sniper rifles coming out. They looked like improvements on an old model or something like that. But what I was really excited about was the Echo One XCR.
Oh, yeah.
They're releasing
it.
I love it. Back when it was Robinson Armaments, I was really following the XCR project. But then either it got canceled for the, what was it? I think the SCAR or the ACR got picked up in place of it.
Sure it was the ACR.
Yeah, it was all part of the Future Warrior program for the Army or something like that.
Yeah.
It was really cool, and I really fell in love with the XCR. The Robinson Armaments, because it was just a great looking weapon. It didn't have any kind of fancy knobs or whistles or anything like that. Nothing to confuse you. It was all based on instant recognizability from the M4 and M16 platforms to the XCR. And
because
all
everybody and their brother has an M4 with a backup M4.
Yeah, and it retained all your major gross motor movements that you got used to in basic when you're going through rifleman class or whatever it is. And it was just an amazing gun. But anyways, back on topic, Echo One is releasing a polymer body, ABS plastic, I believe they're using, Robinson Armaments XCR, and it's coming in a short version and a long version.
Ooh.
So
get my CQB on.
Exactly. And it retains the Stanag lower receiver magwell, so you don't need to switch out any kind of special magazines or anything like that. And it's... I saw that they're using a collapsible folding stock and not using the skeleton stock, which upset me a little bit. I like the skeleton stock, but you can put the battery, a crane stock style battery, in the stock instead of using an AK style battery.
Yeah, that's a good feature. So, speaking of all these, did you see the end of the video that, what was that, their 240? Something like that. Oh,
the Mark 43?
Yeah, Mark 43.
I'm not a big squad automatic weapons guy.
I would take it, though. I would definitely take it.
Well, yeah, it's a huge gun, and it looks great. It looks gorgeous, but, you know, I don't feel like carrying 23 pounds of weapons.
True. I still remember going up at Wayne's World, and my little squad had to go up against an Inukatsu gas blowback M60, and that thing was just absolute evil.
Yeah. Oh, I'm seeing here on the video that I got the video running right now. It sounds off. But they're showing off not the DPMS, the other guys that make the SA-58. Anyways, it's basically the Echo One version of the SA-58, and cool. It looks like it's coming in a paratrooper version with a shorter fore end and a folding skeleton stock, a carbine version with a short fore end. And a full stock and a full length rifle version. I've been a huge fan of the SA-58, and I don't think I'll ever, when it comes to 308 caliber weapons, want to go for anything else, honestly.
Cool. That's good. Kel-Tec's new 308 rifle scares me. So, speaking of new weapons and everything, you got a new weapon from Airsoft Barracks not too long ago.
I picked up a A&K. Special purpose rifle, short.
Nice.
It's basically a designated marksman version of an M4. Mine's currently modified to my style.
Yeah, I see
right
that. It looks pretty baller
it's
over there.
Ridiculous, honestly. This thing probably weighs about 12 pounds.
12 pounds. So let me see what you got on there. You got nice fixed stock on there.
Yeah,
it's got
the
cheek weld on there with the battery compartments.
Yeah, the original rifle came with the crane stock. It was a collapsible crane stock that you'd store your battery in and run your battery wires to. I took that off and I put a marine style battery, a fixed battery stock into it. And it looks kind of like a skeleton stock and it throws people off, but on the inside it is a skeleton stock, but it's got a battery compartment on the back of it. And I can still run my battery through that. Instead of using the standard SBR flash hider, which I really didn't like, it made my gun look like a laser gun.
It's just pretty boring.
Yeah, I put a flash suppressor, or not a flash suppressor, but a silencer on the front end of it. gave it that real special purpose rifle look.
Yeah.
And then got a Sun Optics ACOG lookalike scope. I believe it's a green dot.
That really completes the look right there. It looks pretty high speed.
It looks like a hood scoop on a nice car. It's delicious looking, honestly. The entire weapon is made of metal. I don't think the only plastic parts on this are the
grip.
Yeah, the pistol grip. I'm looking here. I think the rear sight's metal and the front sight's metal. And then the battery
pistol
compartment
grip,
on the stock. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like it, man.
This thing is a heavy beast.
Pretty heavy-duty piece of equipment.
When it came down to buying it, I was looking at a bunch of M4s, and I was wanting to go for the M4 style. Wanted to get a shorter rifle. Even though the overall length of this rifle is over an M4 length, easily, it's still, I can take off the silencer and I can replace the stock.
Yeah.
And take it back down to M4 size, and it gets pretty short.
And you can actually take off that suppressor if you wanted to, throw a birdcage on there, and then just get a quick detach like I have on my VFC.
Exactly. And that's a great idea, actually. I might do something like that.
Birthday.
Oh, yeah. Got around to firing the weapon. It's a very good shooter. I did experience a little bit of BB drift at about 60 feet, but that's to be expected. I think we had some bad crosswind or something like that.
Probably.
Can't remember exactly. Not exactly a tac driver. It doesn't have a tight bore barrel inside of it, but it does get good rounds downrange. It's. I wouldn't say the groupings are tight. They're manageable.
Cool. Well, it'll complement well when you and I get out on the field and bust up my VFC.
Yeah.
DMR.
ANK says this thing will chrono at 400 plus feet per second outside of the box, but I'm not entirely sure that's what it's shooting. I've been using.
They usually overestimate a little bit.
Yeah, I've been using 0.25s and 0.35s in it anyways. Another unique feature about it, I was talking about the foregrip. Or was I? I can't recall. I was so excited. The foregrip is a really unique looking foregrip. If you ever get around to looking one of these things online, it looks like a pipe bomb with rails attached.
Yeah,
to
it. Yeah, it does, actually.
It's got a really smooth feel to it. The paint job that they did on this is entirely high speed.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so smooth, and it's really, really durable paint.
To describe that foregrip for you listeners out there, it's basically, what would you call it, about an 8-inch tube?
I got my ruler right here, actually.
Yeah.
I can measure it in millimeters.
No, how about you give me inches?
It is 190 millimeters.
How many inches?
Okay.
Welcome to America.
I'm trying to convert to imperial. Wait, no, that is imperial. Inches is imperial. I can't fucking remember. 7.5 inches from the lock nut to the end of the foregrip.
Okay.
Which puts it in the carbine length hand grips.
Okay.
So with the gas block that's already on here, you can change out the foregrip. However, I wouldn't recommend doing that because the foregrip that is on here is also attached to a full length monolithic top rail that has a very low profile to it. If you ever had one of the old Tokyo Marine SIRs or the really high speed looking wrist ones with that integrated foregrip and monolithic top rail.
They have a lot of those.
It was a big deal way back in the day. But
So the foregrip, about half of it is just plain open foregrip. So you get a nice firm grip on it with your hand.
Yeah.
And then forward of that they have the other half.
Yeah,
covered in some RIS.
Yeah, they're module wrist plates. The rails are, well, let me measure these things. You have about 2.5 inches of usable rail space, which gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rail slots per rail plate.
Which is plenty for a foregrip on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Flashlight and laser on the side if you wanted anything like that. Very tactical weapon, but it keeps it very basic and very simple.
Yeah, and I like that. Rails are great to have. But when you have a gun that's completely covered in rails, you just have empty rail space, and that lowers property value.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get that out there next to the VFC.
It'll be a good matchup, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the monolithic top rail. It's got a very unique top rail. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this or got to hold one or seen it online. You usually don't get really good pictures online from the airsoft stores. You just get these angle shots or something like that.
Yeah.
Really obscures the top rail. But the top rail, for about half of the top rail is your standard 20mm Picatinny rail. And you can use your standard mounting settings and stuff like that on it. But on the forward part of it, the forward half of it, over the foregrip, your spacings on your rails are every other spacing. So
okay,
that'd be something for if you have an ankle attachment or a fold-away magnifier, something like that. It's spaced out to accommodate those things. It's really, honestly, it's probably one of the more innovative things I've seen on an M4 rail system.
Very nice. Well, moving on here, got an update from a couple of the high-up MGP staff just yesterday. You remember that one for the record books game I told you was going to happen up in Virginia? I had to cancel it because Colonel Ali had to go over to Afghanistan for just a few months, clean some things up.
He'll be back.
He will be back. And not only will he be back, but he will be back and hosting one of the most amazing events that you can expect for the year of 2012.
The most electrifying entertainer in airsoft history.
That could be argued as John Liu or John Woo, but for us here at My Games, we got Colonel Ali. And what he's doing for us, if you want to pop open a Google window, go to ITI Training Facility up in West Point, Virginia.
ITI Training Facility.
What we got is a one full day training at this facility. Now, this place is used to give all kinds of tactical training lessons from VIP escort to combat simulation, stuff like that. Got a huge abandoned airfield along with several shoot houses, a whole bunch of woods, and some of the most potential for a record book game.
Oh, these guys are contracted to G4S.
Okay. Yes. Yes, they are.
I almost got a contract with these guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you want to go ahead and bust out the calendars, I'm going to give you the date, and it's definitely one to save. Price is hopefully going to be anywhere between $60 to $80, but we're still negotiating on that, figuring what we need to do. You're going to have a few different options when it comes to food and stuff like that, whether you want to buy a package in advance or bring your own. But save the date. Shattered Union 2 is going to be on 29 September. It's a Saturday. So all you Florida Airsofters out there, I'm giving you several months notice. I want to see you up there with me. And I tell you what, we'll give you a free shout out too on the air if I see you up there and you mention this podcast.
You know, I'm looking at this facility that they have here, and I think I may have seen this on the History Channel.
Probably. It's a pretty decent facility here. Let me bust out the rest of the MGP calendar and see what else we got going on this year. We're going to be reviewing the calendar pretty much on every podcast, just in case you missed one or anything like that. We'll be able to keep you posted on everything that's going to happen, is happening, or has happened. Coming up in January, don't got anything left. February 17th and 19th, we got MegaCon. And for those of you into the alternate history events, America 2 at Wayne's World of Paintball is going to be on February 25th. We have a Century date over at the C-Century Cubic Defense Systems Simulation Center, March 10th. Those games are always pretty hardcore. Oh, March 24th. Can you guess what's happening?
It's not St. Paddy's Day.
It's not. That's the 17th.
I know. You expected to know anything in March other than St. Paddy's Day?
I was just wondering if you'd know. We got the Zone 3 coming up on March 24th.
All right.
Anybody out there that's played the Stalker game, Shadow of Chernobyl, stuff like that, it's basically that made into a real-life game. Similar theme to Wasteland events, different game base though. But I tell you what, if you want to get out there and get down to the true origins of airsoft when it comes down to semi-autos and shotguns, bolt action rifles, stuff like that, this is a game that you really need to make, and the role-playing aspect of it really adds a whole new level of gaming to it. Jobin, you were with me at the last zone. What do you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. It had a really good dynamic to it, including they had the radiation and the fallout zones.
Yeah.
That was a really good, it moved people around the field in a different way.
It did. I'm hoping to talk the staff into letting me pop a few tear gas canisters on the field so we can actually enforce the radiation zones and the gas masks.
That would be humorous.
The fight's not going very well, though. Looks like April, we don't really have anything planned as of yet. But coming up in May, we have another United Airsoft League competition going down at Century, May 19th. We have a Memorial Day event hopefully in the works, not 100% on what it's going to be, where it's going to be, anything like that. But as many of you MGP vets know, we try to make the Memorial Day games one of the biggest ones of the year. After May, anybody that really wants to check out these cons and become a dedicated member, we're going to be hitting up Origins, and that's at the Columbus Convention Center in Ohio. That's going to be going from May 28th through June 3rd. It's going to be pretty fun. Origins is a pretty big event as well, but that one's more, just to give you a heads up, that one's more based around tabletop gaming and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm really big into tabletop gaming. I've grown up on D&D.
Sweet. Well,
side,
then
so.
you'd better come up there with us, man. Be a summer deployment
Fine.
Team. What else we got? What else? Rest of June is going to be clear. Potential for an event sometime during the mid of the month. July, looks like we're going to be doing another Vietnam event. Perfect timing to recreate the sweltering heat and stifling humidity that was oh so common over in the beautiful country of Vietnam. We'll have a TAC Ops event, TAC Ops 8, the following weekend over at Century Facility. August, got Gen Con and the potential for Dragon Con. Gen Con's a confirmed August 16th through the 18th, and that was going to be up at the Convention Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I tell you what, if you come out to MegaCon and you have fun there, try to get up there to Gen Con because it will make MegaCon look like nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it is Indiana, so expect corn and...
There's a lot of corn. There's a lot of hobos in downtown.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of liberals. So make sure you walk around and talk about guns as often as possible.
Oh, yeah. Good thing it's not Seattle.
Oh, very good thing it's not Seattle. Those of you who have been with MGP for a couple of years now may remember the Operation Glass Dragon that should have gone down early last year, and probably due to the economy, didn't have enough of a player registration to follow through on it. We're going to be giving that one.
Yeah, things were kind of bad for that time of year.
Yeah, it was kind of slow. I'll be bringing that one back to life on September 8th up at Wayne's World. Later on in September, on the 22nd, we'll have our TAC Ops 9 over at Century. Now, are you a fan of Resident Evil? Jawbone?
Not really. I tried to get into the survival horror genre and just
What about the movies? Just as movies, not the games.
Oh, good lord.
No?
No.
I know that face. Well, we got The Hive 3, which is based on the Resident Evil games. We got mad reviews from the last two that we've done. People absolutely love it because, players, it is a dedicated pistol shotguns only. The way they structure the game dynamics give it a whole new feel than anything you've ever played before, and the zombies just make it 10 times better. Anybody that's not been to the Century Facility, where all the TAC Ops games and the Hive games are played, it's basically an 80,000 square foot abandoned office facility, upstairs and downstairs at one part, but it's a very dynamic environment the way that the tunnels, not the tunnels, the hallways and the offices flow together. As well as the dynamics that can be changed with all the lights being able to be turned on or off. So you can go from a perfectly lit hallway to a sudden pitch black alley, and ambushes are quite entertaining over there.
Oh, ambushes.
Oh, yes. To finish up the calendar here, got Wasteland 4. Can't wait for that coming up in November 10th. Looks like that's it for November. And then TAC Ops 10 in December and possibly another event at Wayne's World. And then we'll be wrapping up the year for Mind Games and looking forward to 2013, so long as the world doesn't end.
If it ends, I'll still be playing.
True. We just won't be using Tokyo Marui. Using Smith & Wesson.
Well, if you want to,
I don't think that Tokyo Marui would do much against a zombie, but that's just me.
I don't really hope for a zombie apocalypse.
For a zombie apocalypse.
I'm hoping more for like end of civilization kind of apocalypse.
Yeah, but see, if zombies come, the rules go away.
Then you have to get all these drag-ass, unmoto people to follow you around in a Winnebago.
Okay, now you're talking about Walking Dead.
They're so unmoto.
They are very unmoto. You know what I would say they are? I would say they're malingering.
They are malingering. And we don't accept that kind of malingering.
We do not accept malingering.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Well, you got anything left on your mind, Jawbone?
Not really. Flipping through some of Freddie Wong's videos over here. Getting kind of funny, I guess. I don't know if you guys ever watch any of Freddie Wong stuff, but he uses airsoft replicas in his videos. And he uses... I think it's After Effects. Somebody can correct me on that if you want. But he creates these amazing war scenes. His early works look kind of cheesy, but he's gotten funding from a lot of, I would say, like friends and maybe some outside companies. I don't know what his methods are, but he's got a lot of sway in where he can take his videos.
Yeah,
really good. I'd like to watch them.
They are very entertaining. All right, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Listen, let me get you the MegaCon promo code here, guys. Grab a pen and paper again. Once you get up to the booth where they got the registration waivers and stuff like that, make sure you give the code 20103, and it'll knock $5 off your admission. Aside from that, guys, I think we're wrapping up for today. We're going to have plenty more episodes coming at you. Stay tuned twice a month. Make sure you look us up on Facebook at Airsoft Airwaves. Just go ahead and type that up in the group search or the page search. And if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, reviews, anything you want to see done, talked about, or ignored, send us an email to podcast@mindgame-productions.com, and we will shoot you a reply if we get around to it and feel that you're not wasting our time.
Roger that, guys. Thanks for listening in.
All right. May your batteries last long and your hop-up spin true.